See, and so, and I'm going to go through this. This whole thing is about destroying the father's authority. Isn't that what Satan did in the garden? He came between the father and the children to separate the children from the father's authority. Nothing new under the sun. That's all that's going on today. Do you recognize any honoring of a father's authority in our culture? You might have Father's Day, but it's lip service. You know. So the nature of the child, how they feel and what they think, is now the focus on society. It's not what dad says. So that's the dialectic process, how to get rid of the father's authority. Well, what's the child's nature? Is to approach pleasure and avoid pain. God calls us children till the day we die. He knows. When I got up this morning, I didn't say, Lord, I want a little pain today. You know, I want a little rejection. You know, I want to say some things that you give me to share that people who used to be hanging around with me don't hang around with me anymore. I want your word to protect me. You know, the word of God does actually is a shield of faith. You know, it's a shield. It protects you. Faith, you can never defend your faith. Your faith defends you. The word of God defends you. It protects you from your friends. Because it's your friends. You're never deceived because somebody lied to you. You're deceived because you trust somebody. You like them. Every person I've met that finally realizes how they were deceived, it was somebody they liked. It's somebody you like. See, Satan came to you into the garden. He was very likable. I guarantee he was very likable. Because you like somebody who's interested in your interests. Who's interested in what you want to do, how you feel, and what you think in the moment. And is willing to help you to free yourself, liberate yourself from what dad said. See, that's, you know, you meet somebody out there that, I just say, and this is for the young folks, that, you know, it's the father's duty to check the backpack. See, anybody you meet has a backpack. Because you don't just marry the guy or the girl. You marry the whole family. The whole family has to deal with, your family has to deal with that family's problems. And so dad and mom are going to open up that backpack and check that thing out. We don't. We you know, zip it up. Dad opens, he zips it on, you know, opens it up, and the kids zip it back up. No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know because I like the guy. I like the girl. And so we're driven by feelings rather than the Lord. Now, this is the direction of letting the Lord lead you in life, because sometimes the parents might see a, you know, see the gospel in that backpack. And this is where you have to decide who's in ultimate authority, whether it's your parents or the ultimate authority is God. But most kids aren't there. Most kids are just on feely-feely land. And so the parents, in a way, are trying to protect the children from following their feelings and then regretting it later because they haven't counted the cost. They don't see the rest of the story. But age, you know, gives you enough experience to know that. Yeah, one thing I realized when you get older, you get very short. You know, because I'm 65 and now I'm counting my days. My days are numbered. You know, you start, well, 10 years. Lord, give me 10 years at least. You know, maybe 15, maybe 20, 30. Whoa, wow. You know, it's that, when you're young, that doesn't even comprehend. That doesn't compute at all. You know, because, you know, when you're young, you're eternal. You know, but when you get older, you realize, you know, the young people start sharing their problems with you. And you just don't, I don't have any time to listen to this because it's a dead-end street. Where you're going is a waste of time. I'm not going to spend half an hour. I don't have that half hour to waste with you on an endless journey of nothingness. See how you get a little shorter later as you get older? And I share this with older people. And I go, yeah, that's right. That's absolutely true. But when you're young, see, you don't look past the moment. You just look at the feelings of the moment and they're guiding and directing you without godly counsel, you would hope. But at least a mature mind telling you there are consequences to what you're doing in this action or in this moment in what you're thinking. So if this is a child's nature, because we come into the world with this approach, pleasure, avoid pain, and we all do, we've got a problem. And this is psychology. This is counseling. Everybody's focusing on their pleasure and pain syndrome. You know, this how much pleasure versus pain you had today. You know, if the car broke down and the plumbing failed and your favorite pet died, you say, well, this is an awful day. See, that's how we weigh the worth of our day. But, you know, no matter what happens to you, your witness isn't based upon pleasure or pain. Your witness is in enduring, going through these things, trusting in the Lord no matter what's coming your way. And sometimes the most difficult day is the good day, when everything is going your way. Because that's where the temptations come. That's where you're building, okay, the value of serving the Lord is what I can get from Him. But the Bible is very clear. He doesn't give us the answers to our prayers because we consume it as unto ourselves. We're going after the approach, pleasure, avoid pain system. Rather than being faithful, see, trusting in Him, yielding our heart to Him, denying ourselves, picking up a cross, and following Him. Daily, you have to die to yourself. Well, what is the Father's authority? And this is from Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. Now, I'm going to look at systems, because the socialists, liberals, looked at systems. We don't. We just look at content. You know, we come in here, we're going to open the Bible today, and we thought, well, that's great. But as we look through the Word, you're going to look at the content, but I'm going to use system to change you. And if you're not aware of the system, your spirit will pick up the system, the change of the way we're looking at the Word. It's how you're looking at the Word. Your spirit will pick that up, your soul will pick that up, but your head might not, because we're talking about Scripture, right? We say, well, this is a Bible study. I went to seminary. It was supposed to be Bible study, but it wasn't. We were sharing opinions, see? The language of opinion is, how do you feel? What do you think? How do you feel about this verse? What do you think? What do you think when such and such happened to so and so? Really doesn't matter. It's what happened, and it's how they responded. See, it's what God said. See, those are different. What does the Word say versus how do you feel? What do you think about the Word? Those are two different paradigms. The Father's, Jesus, when He was tempted, what did He say? Three times. Did He say, well, I think, I feel? Did He share His opinion of the Word of God? Or He just said what Dad said? Dad says, it's written, it's written, it's written, it's written. But if you go to the garden, you go to the temptations in the garden. Same temptations, by the way. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, prior life. Same temptations. What Jesus was tempted with, Eve was tempted with. But she went to an opinion. Well, I feel like at least I ought to be able to touch the tree. Well, what do you think? Well, there's nothing wrong with the tree. And she was right. There was nothing wrong with the tree. The tree didn't kill him. Their disobedience killed him. God removed him from the tree of life. See, and so they'd be there today if God hadn't said, you know, this is my house and not your house. I will not put up with this behavior in my house. There's the door. He was the first property. You know, we get our property rights from Him. My garden, not your garden. My house, not your house. And we will have, as long as you're under my roof, you're going to behave the way I tell you to behave. See? And so, but if we focus on the children, you got to get rid of Dad. You got to get rid of the Father's authority. It's one or the other. So you can only serve God or mammon. And the lie, again, is we can do both. And you can't. So what's the Father's authority? Number one, He gives command. This is true for God, and this is true for our earthly Father. To give commands and rules to be obeyed, and facts and truth to be accepted as is by faith. Now, our earthly fathers are not perfect. Anybody ever recognize that? So it's easy to look at Dad and Mom and say, well, they're not perfect, so I shouldn't listen to them. Well, the Bible gives children an out. What's the out? Children, obey your parents. What's the clause? In the Lord, okay? So if Dad asks you to rob the bank, guess what? Dad, I can't do that. Because God's the higher authority. It's not that you define authority. It's just that His authority is greater than Dad's authority. And so if he counters the authority of God, then the child has the right to say, Dad, I'm not going to do that. Now, as you'll see, the father has a right to chasten the child. You notice that David didn't sit under Saul after Saul threw the spear at him. He didn't say, well, I'm just going to stay here. And he scrammed. But did he disrespect the office? No. He was actually ashamed that he had cut the robe of Saul. But it was to humble Saul. Say, Saul, you're in defiance to God's authority. Be a loving father, see. Be a loving king. And not a vain, selfish, greedy tyrant. See, so parents can be tyrants. See, but don't destroy the office, because the office is perfect. And you'll see this whole process was about destroying the office, because we can all look at the parent. And we can all have finer dissatisfactions with our parent. And by me, and I was trained in this, how to help the children to see the parents are not reliable, therefore they can think for themselves. That's all Satan was doing. Adam and Eve, you can think for yourself. You don't have to have somebody telling you what's right and wrong. You can discover it. It lies within you. And he liberated them. And that is the dialectic process, to deliver the children from this, commands and rules to be obeyed and facts and truth to be accepted as is, and that's by faith. You know, there are times you tell your children to do something, and you don't have time to explain it. And in fact, with children, some three-year-olds, you can't explain why you're having them do what they're doing. They just can't comprehend it. They have to accept it by faith. When my mom taught in the public schools, back when they had the Ten Commandments and Scripture and prayer and this paddle, she could write 2 + 2 = 4 and cannot be any other number. Now, the children didn't understand that. They just had faith in my mom and they believed what she wrote. But she gave them facts, and there were parents to make sure. If she started teaching 2 + 2 = 5, the parents certainly would be looking for another teacher. So the parents were fully involved in the children's education. What they brought home, they would look at and make sure that my mom was actually teaching facts, because the issue was facts and truth. Same system, see? And, of course, the father blesses the children who obey. You better bless your children. See, and sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it just seems like they're doing everything wrong. Lord, you know, just give me a moment of just something that they're doing right. They go through spurts. Sometimes boys are more difficult than girls. But maybe not. Huh? but they do. When they do something right, encourage them. Teaching them what's right and what's wrong. And then chastens the children who disobey. This is Hebrews. And then you cast out those children who reject 1, 2, and 3. Because for two reasons. You cast them out for their own soul's sake. Because you're not going to give them verbal support or emotion or financial support. You're not going to we will not behave like this, and I'm not going to fund it out there. I'm not going to support you in your wicked ways. And number two, you protect your own family. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. It'll destroy the home. And that's scriptural. Thank God we didn't carry the law and the prophets over into the gospel, because what'd you do with the rebellious revolutionaries? Not a rebellious, because children are rebellious, you just chase them. But if they're revolutionary, what'd you do with them? You got the parents, the community would come together, community, there you go. The neighborhood or the assembly would come together and give, who got the first stones to cast? The parents. And you killed your kid. You cast them out. Now we have the right to cast out. See, you're not here. You know, the school system, look at it. The teacher would give commands and rules and facts and truth to be learned and returned. They'd give them good grades to the children who did what was right. They would give bad grades to the children who didn't. And if the child was disrespectful, what happened in the old school system? There was a door. They cast them out. Same system. Not today. Because we changed. Now, Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 gives us this. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and this is tough, he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, chastening, okay. Scourging, wow. Oh, man. I mean, when you come out of scourging, you're thanking God for the next breath. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as a sons, for what son is he whom the father chastens not? So if you're in a room full of parents and children, and a child misbehaves, pretty good chance you'll figure out which parent that child belongs to when the child misbehaves, because a parent will go over that is over that child and will chasten them. Not today, though. You might have child protective services knocking on your door. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. In other words, you're not in my family. You might be of somebody else's family, but you're not a child of my family. See? So that's, we're talking about what God sees. See, if you cannot receive God's chastening in your life, you're not his. Because his children can receive his chastening. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be under subjection of the Father of spirits and live? And so here's, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. See, dad's wanting to go do something. he's wanting to go have some pleasure. And the kids are messing it up, you know. I got to deal with these kids now. And, you know, and so he's going to chase them so he can go, you know, get it over with. So he doesn't want to sit and talk and deal with it. He just, get it over with so I can do what I want to do. That's of the flesh. But God chastens us, for he for our profit, that we might partake in his holiness. So there's the difference between the earthly family and the holy, the heavenly family. Is the earthly family can only give us the same system of the heavenly family, but only for the temporal. So I'm not supporting the traditional home as a means of salvation. I'm simply saying God needs that traditional home to show the children how he functions. And Hebrews makes it very clear. Now, no chasing for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. You know what grieving is? You have no control. When a loving loving family member dies, you can't control it. You have no control of the situation. You're just there going through it with them. When Dad's got you by the belt, with his belt, you have no control over the situation. And it's grievous, but nevertheless, afterwards it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness unto those who are exercised thereby. Righteousness means there's right and wrong. There's no gray. There's no confusion. The child now knows what is right and what's wrong. Now, on an earthly family structure, the dad's right might be wrong. But it's addressing that there is right and wrong. That's the issue. And I'm harping on this because our culture is all based upon how to destroy this structure of thought, this paradigm. I want to show you that's what education was all about or is all about. And so then we find in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, I and my Father are one. But made himself of no reputation. It sort of describes us, right? Do you get the connotation here? God says we have no reputation. It's sort of a subtle way of getting that across. And took upon himself the form of a servant. In other words, as a child, but under a father, a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He obeyed his father in all things, even to death. You know, the night before the cross, the child's nature came out. Well, how do we know that? He said, let this cup pass from me. But then what did he say? Nevertheless, thy will be done. So he did not yield to the child's nature. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You understand the paradigm, the way of thinking. See, none of us can obey the Father. Do you know that? Our hope is not found in our obedience to the Father, because the law is revealed we're all wicked. Because if you want to be an obedient child, you got to fulfill all the law. And so Luther came to understand this. Righteousness is imputed. It's by faith. I have faith in the Lord. It's his righteousness that covers me. It's his obedience that covers me. So in Christ, now I obey the Father, not because I have to, but because I want to. That's the change of the heart. Church sometimes get in, a young person comes to the Lord and they give him jobs to do. Training them obedience. No, it's get them in the Word. And they will want, they will seek. This is where ministry comes from. Your desire of your heart is to please God. Not for salvation, because it's because of his love for you. You now have that, what Jesus said, I want you, now he didn't say this, but my paraphrase and summing of the gospel is, I want you to know my Father's love for you. Now you know the Father's love. And when you know your Father loves you, you seeking him, what can I do? What chores? Is it our nature to knock on Dad's door, before he even gets up? Dad, you got some work for me to do? You got some chores? Isn't this Jesus? Isn't it night? John 17, Father, you've given me these men. Father, I've been faithful to you. He gives us a prayer, our Father which art in heaven. We our heart is changing, and we want to talk to our Father for direction. Give me direction today. Without you giving me direction, I'm going to do what I want to do. And if I do what I want to do, chasten me. Get me back. Get me back where I talk to you and ask you for direction. Because that's the life of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. Talking to the Father constantly for direction in his life. Now, you look at this when Jesus asked Peter, who men say that I am, and that's sort of an opinion, you know, and Peter gives him, you know, you're this and that, and then who do you say that I am? And Peter's response is, thou art the Christ, the living God. Well, that's Peter's response. Peter's response is, I want to build my church on this. Well, what's he building the church on? Thou art the Christ, the living God? Yeah, partly, but you know what he's really building the church on? My Father gave this to you. My Father spoke to you. Where's the church today where the Father speaks to the children? That's why the veil was rent. Jesus rent the veil, got rid of the priest. You don't have nobody between you and the Father. How would you like to be a father and have children never talk to him, never ask him for a direction, for what to do? But now we have, you know, in the quote-unquote Protestant church growth, you got a pope. People are going to others for opinion of the Word of God rather than asking Dad. What do you think Dad wants me to do today? How do you feel about if I did this? Do you think Dad would approve of it? No, go talk to Dad. Abba Father. You know, with joy. See, if you're afraid of talking to Dad, it must be you're still in rebellion. Oh, Dad might find out. But Jesus said, you know what? If you come to me and give your life to me, you can go before Dad. Because all Dad sees is you're pure and holy and righteous. Because my blood covers your sins. So when our Heavenly Father looks at you in Christ, all he sees is perfection, perfection, perfection. You're perfectly right. That's what Christ has done. He's reconciled us to the Father. So he resolved this disobedience. I can't have, and here's the life of Christ. I can't have my own self, do nothing as I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. This is what Rob was sharing. You know, now we know. I mean, the Lord has to show us that when we start sharing the opinion of God, we can get along with everybody because there's no conviction, there's no condemnation in an opinion. But when you start sharing the Word of God said, Jesus said, it is written. Now, all of a sudden, people don't want to listen to you anymore. Because that speaks to the heart. See, the Word of God speaks to your soul. Our opinion of the Word of God speaks to the head and the feelings, not necessarily the heart. So everybody likes your opinion. You know, but the moment you start saying, it is written, Dad says, because that's what he's saying. He was saying to Satan. Satan was created by God. And in essence, Jesus is just confronting him with that. He's sticking his nose, pointing his head to God, you know, to Dad. And Satan doesn't want to be obedient to God. He was rebellious. And so he left. Yeah, I'm Daddy's boy. Devil picks on me, I run to Dad. Devil will run away. He's not going to go to God. And he wants me to turn to myself and everybody else. He wants me to turn to you all. I'm not going to turn to you. I'm going to turn to Dad. I'm going to turn to the Father. Because if we turn to one another, if that's relationship, he's happy. If we turn to how we feel and what we think today, he's happy. Because there's no conviction, contrition, there's no walking, there's no Father's authority in an opinion. Are we turning to the Word of God? Are we going to the Word of God? Are we studying the Word of God? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Not that it saves you, but it points you to the one who is the Word, living Word. He is the one who redeems us from the wrath of the Father. Because here's the issue, you either accept the chastening, which is to restore you, or the wrath, which will destroy you. Choose one. It's one or the other. There's no in between. And so he came, he says, I spoke not of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak, and that should be our life as well. You go talk to your neighbor, the Lord lays on your heart, go talk to your neighbor. You go there, why? You're going to share what the Lord lays on your heart. And sometimes you really don't have those words and say, Lord, what do I do? You know, and you get there, and I don't know about you, but there are times all of a sudden I hear words coming out of my mouth, and people ask me sometimes, well, can you repeat that? No, I was just as amazed as you. It wasn't me. I didn't think this up. And it's a witness of the Lord working through you for his glory, because he gets the glory. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to who? The Father, but by me. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, mother. Wow. See, as I was studying the dialectic, I was studying Hegel and Marx and Nietzsche and all these social engineers and Hegel and Freud. And I kept going back to the Word of God and go, wow, it's all about the Father. It's all about, and you'll see this. I'm going to give you some of the Hegel's verses, some Marx's verses, you know, from their Bible. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, that takes care of Catholicism right there. Gone. Boop, vaporized. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. See? Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. I've had meetings canceled by Christians because they'd set up a town hall meeting and I would share. And I share the gospel and I share all the process. They want to hear the process, but they don't want to hear the gospel. And then one day he was setting up another meeting and he said, Dean, you've got to leave the gospel out because you're offending people. I was a Christian. And so he canceled the meeting because of the gospel. Well, he's going to have to take that up with the Lord. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, this was in Idaho, and it was a wolf issue. And that meeting that I had originally, there was a woman who came in, didn't hear my testimony. Your testimony is important. If I leave out my testimony, you know, that I was trained in this, and I had to repent of it, gave my life to the Lord again, and then went seminary and left there because of all the compromise that was going on. But search the scriptures to know what was going on. If you don't share a testimony, you really can't share. Because how do you overcome the enemy? The blood of the Lamb, what Christ has done, the word of your testimony, what he's doing in you. That's important. Because really, Jehovah's Witness, you know how you witness to them? They want to get you in the scriptures, of course, the articles and all that, the a son of God versus the son of God and all the deception that comes. Just share what the Lord has done in your life. They can't deal with it. I mean, it'll bring them under conviction and they'll be backing out the door. You want to get rid of them? That's the way to do it. This is what the Lord's done in my life. And so what is the Lord doing in your life? Can you share that? You know, that's your testimony. And then you love not your life to the death. Because you got to hate. If you love the Father, you're going to hate the flesh. If you love the flesh, you're going to hate the Father. And so you have to hate this life to the death, to your last breath. In fact, everybody we're meeting now, when they see where this world's going, everybody wants to check out. You know, come quickly, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, because it's tough. Because the more the darkness takes over the country, the more you stick out, and the more nobody wants you around. Because community is what? Compromise. What's the dialectic process exonerating the nature of the child over and against the Father's authority? For all that's in the world, lust, flesh, lust, the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the lust of the flesh, well, there was what she saw as good for food, the tree. Jesus was tempted to turn a stone into bread. That's the lust of flesh. Well, you need food to live, right? But she didn't need that food. But there was a lust of the flesh. It was the flesh desires what's around. And so Jesus said, he gave us the answer. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. Eve, listen. You're looking at the food rather than every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the second one, the lust of the eyes. The Bible says, as hell is never full, the eyes are never satisfied. And so he's shown the kingdoms of the world. You know, bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. Well, she's looking at the tree, it's pleasing to the eyes. See, the same temptation. And then on the pinnacle, actualize yourself. You know, jump off the pinnacle, everybody will know you must be somebody important. Even the angels protect you from hurting yourself. And she says to make one wise. Because a wise person is what? He solves problems. See, a wise person is a prosperous person. He's a person to be praised. But Jesus said, don't tempt God. The second one is worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. See, and we worship with our eyes. We look at things, we worship them. You know, the kids go to a rock concert, and what do they talk about all day long? The rock concert. Are you talking about the Lord all day long?